Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Mini.
And we have a crazy show today. George, what are we talking about today?
Well, I believe we're talking about crime.
Crime in general?
Crime in general, yeah.
car crime.
Yeah, well, car crime is a little bit of crime in general in there as well that we've put together. And then whether you've purchased a dud and what to do in terms of a car. Other name for a dud would be a lemon. And then the cheapest cars from South African brands.
100%. I think maybe going straight into it, have you ever been involved in a car-related crime scenario? Not really.
No, not really.
Yeah.
I do believe, however, that the hijackers are getting very creative in today's hijacking world. But before that, apparently the Hawks have uncovered some counterfeit parts on Ford.
They did. So there was a raid earlier this week. Essentially the Hawks, if you don't know who the Hawks are, they're basically...
So that's the week at the end of November, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
They're basically the FBI of South Africa.
The FBI.
The special police force in South Africa. And they got wind and were tracking this warehouse for a while because they knew that there's some fishy business going on there. And what they found there was that there was almost R500,000 worth of counterfeit Ford parts. Fortunately, it wasn't like, you know, pistons or like engine parts. It was more like accessories and, you know, more cosmetic things. At least, you know...
Is this like fake Nikes and stuff?
It's like fake Nikes, but I guess it would be like a fake Wildtrak logo and fake keys and stuff like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it's not the first time this happens. I think we spoke about this in a previous show.
So this is in a warehouse in Cape Town in Brackenfell. In plain sight. I mean, Brackenfell's a pretty built up area.
So it was in plain sight in terms of how it was packaged. I saw a photo of the packaging and I'm sure the producer will be able to put it on the screen. But it looked like, you know, real authentic parts. But when the Hawks came in, they kind of were watching and tracking the activity and they knew that, you know, this package here or this shipment here was counterfeit. Yeah.
Interesting. I suppose what they would have done is tracked it from the port somehow, known that it's counterfeit, but wanting to find out where it ends up. You know, so that would be the kind of monitoring, but I would assume they would have been doing because it wouldn't have been just walking into the warehouse knowing it's counterfeit.
Yeah.
It's probably been tracked or being monitored from when it lands on the shores.
100%. Also, another thing as part of this, when you look at the photos, you'll see that it's the tape that's been faked. It's this is called the pallets where they sit on. It's counterfeit as well. The entire thing looks very authentic, very real, but it's fake. So, you know, this is an operation that knows what they're doing. They've been doing it for certain years. And they've been able to kind of...
So there must be some little flaws in the actual product, its pallets. There must be flaws that give it away.
Yeah, yeah. Or tracking number or, you know, they probably even worked with Ford to be like, are you guys expecting a shipment at this point? What's the tracking number? That sort of thing. But it's happening. It's just good to know that, you know, the Hawks and the police are actively stopping these things because who knows what the impact is on the market.
Changing lanes a little bit. What is happening in Formula One? When is the new season starting?
Did I even forget? New season starting next year. It'll probably be around March.
I think it's the end of March.
Yeah. And we're starting in Australia again. But yeah, there has been some new news as of this morning, actually. So I don't know if you know this, but Matteo, who is the team principal of Ferrari, what's his surname? Binotto. He's been having some issues this year. We've spoken about his leadership style and some of the decisions he's made this year.
Well, they can't get their strategy right.
Yeah. But he has officially resigned as of this morning. So Ferrari should be expecting a new team principal. There's been wind that they've even approached Christian Horner from Red Bull. But, you know, we'll see who comes and takes over there.
That would be interesting.
To have Christian
Horner there.
Yeah.
That would be very interesting.
Christian will take everything from Red Bull because that's what he does. Whenever he changes things, he takes his entire team And so
where was Christian Horner before?
He was actually at Red Bull the whole time, but he's just been moving up the ranks. But whenever he kind of moves up, he takes his people with him.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you move up the ranks, take people with you. It's a bit more difficult to take people with you to another team.
Yeah, for sure.
So well, that would be a very interesting change. Then I would stick with Ferrari.
100%, yeah.
Then
we'll see something interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been thinking about defecting for a few weeks.
Yeah, we've been trying to reel you in as much as we can. Let's see what happens. I think it's something that we need in the grid, just not for not for Ferrari, but yeah, as fans of the sport, I think we need to, the team needs to be playing with the rest of the boys and girls.
Well, I mean, I think they've got a capable car. They just don't work together as a team very nicely.
Yeah. There are some reports that the Ferrari car was actually detuned by about 40%.
40%?
Not 40%, 40 horsepower, I think it was.
40%, so they could have gone double this fast.
Yeah, it's kind of deal. I think it was Reina, our producer, was actually telling me this. With the results of trying to, you know, kind of fix the reliability issues that Ferrari's had all year.
So they detuned it slightly to not to blow up. Yeah.
Exactly. So if that's the case, if that's the case, then we should anticipate a much faster Ferrari next year if they get everything right.
And they get their strategy right.
Yeah, yeah. And the right people.
Let's talk about hijacking. So I believe there's been a massive increase in number of hijacks in the last quarter in South Africa.
Yeah, so it keeps growing up and up and up. To be fair, the last time this was kind of done, lockdown was closing or becoming a lot more like how it is today. So the numbers are higher, but you know, I just want to contextualize that just so everyone has a full picture. But the reports are pretty high. Around 6,149 cars were hijacked over the period of July and September, which is an insane amount of cars.
July, August, and September.
Yes, correct.
Wow. That's what, like 68 cars a day?
68 cars a day, yeah. Does that make it better? I don't know. What do you think?
I'm not so sure that's a proper hijacker. They don't use spanners.
Not in South Africa. They're a lot more technologically advanced, I think, in South Africa. Yeah,
and they don't use balaclavas, I don't think. So 68 cars a day from July to September. That's a lot of cars per day, you know, 6,000. And up from how many cars per day in the quarter before?
So the quarter before was 4,173. So we're looking at around a 23% increase in hijacking activity or cars being hijacked. But I think one of the more...
So that's up from 55 cars a day to 68 cars a day year on year up to September.
Yes. So there's only a 3-month period.
Yeah, no, fine, but it's representative. Yeah. So last year up to September, that's 2021 to 2022 up to September, the 3 months compared is 55 cars a day to 68 cars a day. That's a 23% increase. Mm. That's big.
It is huge. If you had to split it up between regions, Gauteng is still, obviously, you know, and that's been 77% increase. So
Gauteng's got a bigger increase. A
much bigger problem in this. So, you know, I think
the borders, right?
Yeah, just be careful because, you know, it's happening at much faster rates than...
So how are they perpetrating these hijackings? What are they doing?
You're walking into the mall, yada, yada, yada. A guy walks to you or a woman and he's like, hey, aren't you the person in, they'll say you're the make model of your car as well as the color. And they'll be like, oh, I just parked next to you and I just accidentally slammed your door or whatever. Let's go check it out. So you go follow them and when you get to your car, there's a whole gang there. And essentially they get you in your car and they just wipe your phone in terms of like they make you log into your banking app. They just wipe your phone. They don't take the car. They wipe your phone, and then sometimes they take cars, sometimes they don't.
What do you mean wipe your phone?
They go to your banking app and wipe you clean.
That means they steal your money.
They steal your money. Let me use English.
Wipe your phone. They steal your money off your banking app and your phone.
Yes.
My goodness.
Yeah. So they're getting sneakier with these ploys. But the one that the SAPS has kind of spotlighted now and a tracking service is drive-thrus. It happened to one of my friends, I was saying earlier.
As in like KFC, McDonald's, Burger King.
100%. You're there trying to get a burger and guys come with guns and they say, thank you, please.
No, just hold on a second. So you're at a drive-thru, right?
Yeah.
unless you're at the front of that queue busy paying or collecting your food, should I say, not paying.
Yeah.
There's cars in front of you and usually you can't get over the curb. So how are they taking your car at a drive-thru?
I would imagine that they have a team. So there's a guy in front, maybe, like a car in front of you, which is part of this thing.
Part of the thing.
And then...
Oh, they wait for their moment.
And a car behind you, so you're blocked in. So they can really take their time completely in kind of getting you out the car and speeding off when they're ready to.
Oh, wow.
So this has been increasing. It's and I think drive-thrus are now just not just for hijackings, just period. You're not paying attention. You're hungry and you're just looking forward to your next meal. And people come.
are they picking on hungry people? Is that what you're saying?
Don't be hungry.
Don't get hungry.
You're more vulnerable when you're hungry.
Oh my goodness, no.
Don't look at the stats.
Don't get hungry, you'll get hijacked. don't get hungry.
You want to protect yourself from crime.
So, but they're not only stealing the car in the drive-thrus, though. I believe they're stealing phones and
yes,
and stealing phones your and, valuables.
And now even people. Not in the drive-thru, the hijackers right now. They're also stealing people. So one of the stats that came out of this research is you have a much higher, I think it's 2 times more chance of being kidnapped during a hijacking than the second most kidnapping-related crime.
So you shared these numbers with me before the show, which is there have been 3,648 kidnapping cases in the country up to the quarter ending September, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of that, 1,408 cases were kidnapping in a hijacking.
Yes.
Okay, so that's 39% of the cases of kidnapping being hijacking related, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's scarier is if you take the 1,408 kidnapping cases into the 6,149 hijacking cases, that is a 23%. 23% of all hijacking cases involve a kidnapping as well.
Yep.
So you have a 23% chance of actually
getting kidnapped.
In and hijacking. Yes. They're not going to just chuck you out the car. So why are they doing this? Why are they kidnapping people during a hijacking?
Well, I think I'm going to put my mind in the criminal's thought process here. I would assume for a few things. One, you can't report the crime at that point.
Well, I suppose, yeah, if they've got you, you're not going to be reporting the crime for a while.
They can also do more things than just steal your car. They can wipe.
they can steal your money out your phone.
They can steal your money out your phone as well. And it just buys them time to really maximize the potential of this crime unfolding.
And I suppose, get a ransom.
And get a ransom, yes.
If they believe, somebody's going to pay for you.
100%. So just be careful. Just be careful. Is there a way of mitigating? Do you have any tips for people to mitigate a hijacking?
Yeah. So, I mean, defensive driving. We've spoken about defensive driving a lot in the past.
Mm.
and defensive driving also saves you fuel.
Mm.
Because how do you defensively drive? You anticipate a traffic light. You anticipate the traffic. And race up behind somebody. The other thing is stop being on your phone.
Mm. Mm.
I can't tell you how many people in the traffic I see. I was on the freeway the other day, on the way to the office, as a matter of fact, on the highway.
Yeah.
And I was, middle lane. This guy was in the left lane, and I was creeping up towards, the side of his car, going slightly faster than him. He must have been doing, 100, 110. I was doing 120, so I was going to pass him.
Yeah.
Relatively, and he drifted into my lane.
Mm.
So I hooted, and now I don't want to drift into the other lane because I don't know if there was a car there. So
exactly.
I
quickly
had a look. Put on the brakes a bit. As I hooted, and then he went back into his lane. And as I passed him, guess what?
He's on his phone.
He's on his flipping phone.
Yeah. Yeah. How old is this
person?
This lovely human, yeah.
Oh, he's a middle-aged man.
Okay.
Can't say how old he really was. But he was on his phone. And I was like, okay, so I just hooted at you. You just pulled back into your lane, and you're still on your phone.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
What I find people doing is, like, when you look into the car, they've got their hands on the steering wheel with the phone on top of the steering wheel like this, which, just stay off your phone.
We've actually done the research before of what are the chances of you being in an accident when you're on your phone, and it's I mean, the numbers go
well, chances
all
of you being hijacked because you're not taking notice of your surroundings, right? Yeah. So I think to avoid a hijacking, you've got to really take note of your surroundings, mm-hmm. number one. The other thing you can do, and I've done this before on previous cars I've had, is put a double layer of smash and grab.
Mm.
So I think the thickest layer is 300 micron or something.
Okay.
I stand to be corrected. I put two layers of film, one clear layer and one tinted layer. Of film on the window of the car, which makes it so much harder to break.
Mm.
But unfortunately, it doesn't stop a bullet. And then, did you see the first Jaguar I-Pace in the world?
South African.
The South African that is armor.
I think they have B6 armoring, which is basically, yes. It can stop an AK-47 sort of attack.
It costs like 800 grand or something.
Funny story, the guys who do that, they're going to be so happy that I'm mentioning this, but they've reached out. They actually want to come on and talk about that process.
Oh, lovely.
So we'll definitely probably have them on some of these days, just to kind of talk through that, because, I mean, the entire process is as fascinating as hell. And it's the first electric car, ultimately. That's,
yeah, Jaguar I-Pace. Jaguar I-Pace was already 2.1 tons.
Mm.
So I just want to add, I just want to see how much weight that this particular armor proofing adds to the car, but I think it's 200 kilos.
Yeah.
If I recall, I think it's about 200 kilos. And if I can't find it quick enough, then we will move on. But I think it's 200 kilos.
Around
so,
there.
So
it's not like it's not like an insane amount.
No, it's not an insane amount. So it turns out that people say, well, is 200 kilos a significant, you know, decrease in the cars in electric cars efficiency? And the answer is no, because apparently you lose under 1 kilowatt hour per 100 kilometers.
So you're losing about 2 kilowatt hours.
I worked it out. You're losing single digit percentages, maybe 6 or 7% of the car's range, which, I mean, 200 kilos is what, two people. In a car, so it's not a significant reduction in range.
Mm.
It's actually an insignificant reduction in range for that amount of weight.
Plus, if you weigh that with the, you know, the protection that you get,
yeah,
you know, I think it's worth it. Ultimately.
But I mean, you don't need to get your car armor proofed or.
There's one other thing you could do.
What?
If you want to avoid a hijacking, there are cars out there, and I'm not. This is not like a
plug.
There are cars out there which are more likely to get hijacked.
Fast one, like a Ferrari or a Red Bull.
100%.
Not a Mercedes.
Those have a higher chance of being hijacked. So, you know, consider that also when you're buying your next car, when you search on Auto Trader for your next car, because, you know, they do have targets, these hijackers.
Yeah, I mean, we all know the VW Polo is a very sought-after car, but that could change very quickly. It's not because it's a VW Polo. It's a high-demand car, 100%. Right? So if the Haval Jolion, for instance, is becoming very popular, you know, you could start seeing those cars being hijacked. So it's not about the VW Polo. You know, it's not because it's a VW Polo. It's just because it's a high-demand car.
100%. Moving on. So this one, I think you can... A lot of people are – one of the most asked for questions on Ask Auto Trader actually is around this. So if you purchase a dud or a lemon, like you mentioned, is there things that you can do to make sure that you essentially avoid, you know, going to court? And what can you do in a scenario where you buy the car and it's been like a week and you're like, what's going on here? This car is definitely not what was ordered, for instance, in your experience.
So you're talking about
buying a lemon.
Buying something that has got a manufacturing flaw.
Mm.
Well, I mean, that the three R's exist. So mm-hmm. you can, you know, you can get it. The dealer has to repair it, replace it, or refund.
Mm.
Those are the three rules in terms of the Consumer Protection Act.
Okay. And speaking of the Consumer Protection Act, so essentially to your point, you have about a 6-month period under certain conditions in which you can actually go back and make sure that you haven't been cheated, because it could be a scenario where they didn't even know that there was something wrong with the vehicle. But there is recourse, and depending on the circumstance, there's definitely actions that you can do as a consumer in South Africa to make sure that you can kind of avoid that. So,
yeah, I mean, the Consumer Protection Act is there exactly for the consumer. And, you know, according to Section 56(2) of the Consumer Protection Act, the consumer has the right to return a vehicle to a seller within a six-month period under certain conditions. You've got to understand the certain conditions. It's not just any like, oh, I don't like this car anymore. Yeah. It doesn't work like that.
I want it in blue.
So, however, the CPA only applies to suppliers who sell cars during the ordinary course of business and not to private sales between individuals.
Mm.
Okay, so you can't go and buy a car privately and go, hey, Wendy, sorry, I'm returning this car.
I don't like it.
Doesn't work like that. So certain conditions. You're going to go and look up what those certain conditions are. So there has to be a proven defect.
Yeah.
Proven defect. If you can prove that the vehicle you were sold was not fit for purpose when you bought it, you have a leg to stand on. But you as a buyer have to provide the evidence.
Mm.
It's not up to the person who sold it to you to give you the evidence in order to return the car. You have to provide the evidence. This puts you in a position to demand repair, replacement, or refund. So again, it doesn't come down to just returning the car.
Yeah.
It's those three R's, right?
They can always repair it.
They can always repair it. Mm. It's not necessarily – like I've come across people, oh, I'm going to take this car back. You know, and then they want the dealer to give them their money back. You can't do that, unfortunately. That is just not as easy to do as you think it is.
100%.
The Consumer Protection Act, you have to prove that there's a defect, number one. And number two, the seller of the car, the dealership, can repair, replace, or refund. They can choose which one they want to do.
100%. So you do have options, but we have a few articles on the website. So if you want to check out what you can do in any different scenario, we have a bunch of websites on the Auto Trader Zero. Websites where you can find all of that.
However,
yes,
I'm sorry, Wendy. There is this thing called the cooling off period. So yeah. CPA says that if you buy a car on impulse, you can return it, no strings attached. This cooling off period does not have clear cut parameters, though.
I was about to ask, yeah.
So it's not a case of, oh, this is what the CPA says, I can return it in the cooling off period. It doesn't have clear cut parameters. It lasts for 5 business days and can only be invoked if the buyer has bought a car as a result of direct marketing concerning that same product from a supplier. For example, you need to have received an email, SMS, or other direct marketing material from the supplier to buy into a specific deal before you are eligible for the cooling off period. So okay. They are T's and C's.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, you are protected, but what they're trying to do in the CPA is, you know, stop ninnies from just
trying to break the law, essentially.
Just kind of return the car because they just feel like it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work like that.
100%.
Okay,
so, moving on, we're running out of time, but yeah, a recent study was done on the cheapest cars from the different brands in South Africa. So something that I'm sure you know, over 40 brands in South Africa exist or operate here. Not as OEMs, but, you know, just... They sell their cars.
Yeah, I think it's actually more than that.
Yeah, it's a little bit more. I think it's around that figure. Mm. It's just and the cheapest one that has come out of the list is now the Suzuki. It's the Espresso. Espresso, yes.
Okay.
And it comes in around 159,000 rand. And I know for a long time that used to belong to the Quid, the Renault Quid. But there's a new cheapest car in South Africa.
Yeah.
So if you are looking for something a little bit more affordable, definitely consider it. Yeah.
So what's the cheapest car in South Africa now?
The Suzuki...
Espresso.
Espresso. Oh. 1 liter GL specifically.
Okay.
I found it. 157,000.
There you go. Man. Suzuki Espresso. Like, Suzuki's done well in the last 18 months.
They honestly have, yeah. Yeah, they honestly have.
They have done really, really well.
Yeah. I think on own level, even at an SUV level, at just an entry level car.
I think it started off with the Suzuki... what's that SUV called?
Well, Jimny.
Jimny, yes. That Jimny, I think, started the trend.
100%.
About a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yes. And before I leave you, I don't know if you saw the story, but I think it's Checkers or ShopRite specifically has just starting a new pilot.
ShopRite Checkers.
Yes, of the first battery electric EV that they're currently running. So the truck is 100% electric. I think it has a range of about 350. And they're trying to see if, you know, if it's profitable for them to start making the change and making their fleets electric.
Good on Checkers. I mean, the fact that they've lit this truck up like this.
Yeah.
I wonder how much battery that those lights use. But probably LEDs, so not a lot. But yeah. You know, good for Checkers. I think more pilots need to happen. I know there's a taxi pilot happening in Cape Town.
Yes. Well, it's about to happen if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But there are plans for different fleets and different industries, sort of. Making the change now.
And the other, it was yesterday. You know, the delivery bikes, I mean, big thing in South Africa now, since lockdown.
Yes.
So I saw a three-wheeler, full electric delivery bike.
Oh, nice. Yeah, nice. So it's starting to happen. I know in Africa it's a big thing, and India as well. They've kind of made that, they started there. But it seems like, you know, the rest of the country is catching up to the EV future and the future of mobility. So it's good to see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much all the time we have for. Thank you so much for the show, George.
Thanks,
see you guys
Wendy.
Next week.
Yes. Go Norris.
Every week it's a new person.